morning.
Good morning.
If you haven't heard, and you probably have though, Roy is in the hospital. A variety of events kind of did him in related to the trip to GA and everything. Serious infection that he is battling, and they're trying to battle with some serious antibiotics. Let's take a moment, quiet our hearts for prayer, for preparation for worship, and we'll have the call to worship in a moment. Hear these words from Psalm 107. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Let us pray. Our God, we praise you this morning as the God of salvation. We would have stayed away from you with hardened hearts, dead souls, determined sinful natures. We would have stayed away from you, but you have redeemed us from our worst enemies, like sin, the flesh, the devil. Father, we give you thanks that you have treated us this way. You have redeemed us, brought us into your presence, and you brought us before you for the sake of blessing rather than curse. It is good to be with you as your children. We ask that you would receive our prayers and our praises this morning. We ask that you would bless each person with the presence of the Holy Spirit. We ask that each one of us would be nourished on your word. We ask that each one of us would be comforted by you. Father, we ask that you would receive our prayers. They're brought to you in the name of the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. At this time, we will turn to the Word of God and read Book of Genesis, chapter 22, verses 1 through 19. If you want to follow along in the Pew Bible, it's on page 13. But regardless of whether you are looking, let us give our ears to the Word of God. Now it came to pass after these sayings that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. And he said, Take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here I am, my son. And he said, Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. And the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." And he said, "Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, "The Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, in blessing I will bless you, and in multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." So Abraham returned to his young men, and they rose and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. And thus far, the reading of God's word. Together, let us confess our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed, back of the hymnal, page 846. Words that we use often, that have been used by so many other Christians over the years. Let us express our faith together using these words. We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And we believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and we look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. So let us proceed with our prayer of intercession now. Father, we are glad that you are the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. We have confessed your greatness, your salvation. We wish to come to you now and speak of our needs. We are a little flock. We are glad that you care for little flocks. We are glad that you have given such a great shepherd for our little flock. We ask that the great shepherd would tend to us in every way. We ask that every single lamb would be nourished, cared for, taught, led. We ask, Father, that your purposes would be accomplished in us by the work of your Son, by the ministry of your Holy Spirit. Father, we do indeed want you to triumph in every way in our lives. We want you to triumph in the ministry of this particular congregation of yours. We want saints to be built up, grow, be edified. And Father, we want children brought up in the knowledge and understanding of the Lord. And Father, we want sinners hearing the gospel and being reclaimed from their ways. Father, we ask that you would have these kinds of ministries in this congregation for our sake and for your glory, of course. Father, I guess we could say many more things, but what we have said, we put in your hands. We entrust our cares to you, knowing that you care for us, knowing that you care greatly for the glory of your Son. You care so much for your own purposes. We ask that you would simply accomplish them in your wisdom, in your timing, in your knowledge, and in your might. And Father, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's see. Oh, yeah. Turn, if you will, to the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 5. And I'll read the first 6 verses or so. This will be our sermon text for today. Let us hear God's word. Do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father. The younger men as brothers, the older women as mothers, the younger as sisters with all purity. Honor widows who are really widows. But if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and to repay their parents, for this is good and acceptable before God. Now she who is really a widow and left alone trusts in God and continues in supplications and prayers night and day. And she who lives in pleasure is dead while she lives. I don't know if that's the best stopping place, but that's where I will stop. And thus far, the reading of God's word. When I learned that Roy was in the hospital, I guess I learned it late Friday night, and I learned that I was being asked to preach, I really had no idea what I was supposed to talk about. That's pretty typical for me. My wife said, you know, you might do something with regard to Father's Day. Okay. Even though I live on Hallmark Road, I'm not that tuned to Hallmark's calendar. Today is Father's Day and on some calendars, not necessarily the church calendar, but here we are today. Now, I should admit that the passage that I just read speaks more directly about elders or older men than it does about fathers. There's some good instructions in there for any young minister like Timothy to remember. Basically says, do not rebuke harshly. You have the word rebuke. The word is a pretty tough word. It can come close to striking somebody. don't rebuke harshly. Definitely don't strike anybody. And there could be moments maybe when a young leader like Timothy would be tempted to lash out at some of the people that he works with. And probably these words here in 1 Timothy 5:1. Kind of good for ministers to handle their reactions carefully. Now, it's true that the passage speaks directly about elders or old men in general, but what is assumed as understood in the passage is really worth giving attention to. The instruction rests on an idea that is simply assumed without any explanation. An idea that seems to be completely obvious to Paul, the writer. The whole instruction kind of amounts to don't rebuke harshly, don't do that, but appeal to somebody older as a father. Or if you maybe paraphrase it like this, think of your own father when speaking to an older man. Think of his experience, think of his wisdom, think of his authority, think of his commitment to principles. Think of your own father when speaking to an older man, and speak with him accordingly. It's kind of like saying, bring nothing but respect when speaking with an older man. Respect that would be associated with fatherhood. And somehow, that is supposed to say it all. You have kind of an absolute minimum of words here, as if nothing more needs to be said. But of course, you got a sermon this morning, so something more might be said. But at any rate, it's as if nothing more is to be said. It's like, think of your own father when speaking to an older man, and bring the respect that should be involved in that. Respect for fathers should be so ingrained in you that it affects every way you relate to your father, and every way, of course, you relate to older men. There was a member of this church once who tried to press that thought upon me personally. There was a time when I was the moderator of things here before Roy came, I guess, or whatever, but that meant I led the congregational meetings and things like that. And there was one night where I pushed a certain individual who was old. There was one night that I pushed a certain individual to either get in line or to help out or do something to help the meeting, basically. And that person said, you really need to learn something about speaking to your elders. I was an elder. You know, I was officially an elder in this congregation, functioning as an elder. But the person who was older than me said, you need to learn something about respecting your elders. And she was right at that moment. You know, okay? There is something that there simply should be respect that goes along with the treatment of older people, like it should go along with the treatment of fathers. Now hold on for a minute. In case you are a father, at the moment perhaps you're nudging somebody in your family and saying, hey, listen to Mark, he just said fathers should be respected. Let me give you fathers another verse, which is Titus 2:2, which tells you what old men should be like. It doesn't use the word father, but it does say what old men should be like. It says this, teach the old men to be sober or clear-minded, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, sound in love, sound in patience. Now, your English Bible doesn't put it exactly that way, but the original language, I think, motivates you to read it like that. Sound in faith, sound in love, sound in patience. Just look at the list there. Sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, sound in love, sound in patience. If that's what old men should be like, if that's what fathers should be like, well, that definitely gives you an idea of why they should be respected. Timothy is told to respect the old people like he would respect his father. Yes, he should respect people that way, but the aged and the fathers are supposed to be downright respectable themselves. So fathers, if you're a father, grandfather, whatever today, take a little note of that. Now, assuming respect for fathers and extending it to older men really shouldn't surprise you, right? Paul's words are not as famous as, say, the fourth commandment. Honor your father and mother that your days may be long upon the land. A commandment that, depending on your home life, might have been spoken into your ears as many times as you want. Maybe more times than you want. I'm just saying, however many times you've heard it, you might want to make sure you hear it right. Years ago, I got acquainted with a young man named George when George was about 12 years old. He's probably in his 40s now. But he was in a group that I was teaching, and he said, hey, doesn't the Bible say, honor your father as your mother. And I said, I think it says honor your father and your mother. He said, I think it says honor your father as your mother. And I said, well, the real word there is and. You might want to note that down. I eventually learned that George, for instance, was never raised by his father. He was raised by a single mother. His mother and his father still knew each other, but they were alienated from each other. His mother probably was constantly telling him to honor her in some way or other. And he was probably trying to figure out, how do I honor my father who doesn't want me like I honor my mother? All right? What all I'm saying is, however many times you may have heard the fourth commandment, try to remember all the words. Okay? But it has been said that a commandment like the fourth commandment with that promise attached would make all the sense in the world. After all, it was announced in the midst of a desert patriarchal society, a situation where fathers had absolute control over everything, and probably, if you want to live in the land, you better honor or else. There's been a few people who have written about the commandment in words kind of like that. Maybe there is some reason to think in those terms. But there's probably a more biblical way to react to it. And I would like for you to think with me along these lines for a moment. Your father and his father stand in a long line of fathers. Families were not invented when you were born. You might think of, here's my family, mom, dad, me, my brother, dog. That's my family, but actually your family is wider than that. All right? Your father and mother probably have some mothers, brothers and sisters. And of course you have grandparents and great-grandparents and others like that. Your families were not invented when you were born. You come from a long line of fathers. And in Scripture, the ultimate father is Abraham. And maybe Abraham should be kind of the definition of father for all of us. When Scripture speaks of fathers, it speaks so often of folks like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And let's look at a couple things about them as father and see if we learn anything. Look at Genesis 17:1. This is how God wanted Abe to be as father. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but you know that the whole chapter goes on to repeat the promise that Abraham will have a son, and to also repeat that he should keep the covenant and the variety of things. This is how God wanted Abraham to be as a father. Walk before me and be blameless. And then turn over a few pages if you want, Genesis 26:2-5, and you get the reminder that Isaac got. Then the Lord appeared to him and said, do not go down to Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell you. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and your descendants I give all these lands, and I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham your father. And I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven. I will give to your descendants all these lands, and in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Isaac is reminded of what his father Abraham was like, and God says, your father walked with me and kept my words. I want you to do the same thing. Or look at the directions Jacob got. If you turn to Genesis 31, verse 3. Then the Lord said to Jacob, "Return to the land of your fathers and to your kindred, and I will be with you." These words come to Jacob when he is off raising the sheep of Laban and such. But he's told to go back to his fathers, to go back to the ways of his fathers, and seek God's blessing in that way. You can kind of summarize these thoughts if you go to Genesis 48 and read the words that Jacob pronounced in blessing the children of Joseph. This is Genesis 48, verses 15 and 16. And he blessed Joseph and said, "God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has fed me all my life long to this day." Fascinated that they translate the word fed. If you're thinking about lunch, you're welcome to it. Most people would translate it, "the God who has shepherded me." But in English translation, someone likes the word fed. Okay? I just noticed that this week. "My fathers, Abraham and Isaac, walked, the God who has fed me all my life long to this day. The angel who has redeemed me from all evil, may he bless the lads. Let my name be named upon them in the name of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth." I'm basically saying that this prospect of parentage, offspring, it's all related to walking in faith with the Lord God. And that is how these fathers in the faith are respected and what sort of status or standard of fatherhood that we should think of when we think of honoring and respecting fathers. These fathers were men who recognized the covenant with God and they walked in it. And they looked forward to its fulfillment in Jesus Christ, of course, knowing that a perfect sacrifice would be required to seal the mercies of God and really bring forgiveness of sins, and knowing that God would provide. We had those words on the lips of Abraham a little while ago when we read Genesis 22. These are men who understood that and walked in faith with God, and they received their offspring as the fulfillment of the covenant promises. And of course, they prayed for their offspring and raised them. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And 400 years later, when the commandment was given, it was given at a time when the nation of Israel existed because of the faithfulness of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They had heard the promises, trusted God, walked in his ways, and they had their offspring as their blessing. And their stories were recited over and over and over and over again. I want you to know, children, that is ideally the kind of father that you've had. One who has walked with God and led you the way Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob did. Led you in the ways of God, even when it might have made you hopping mad. Led you in the ways of God, even when it absolutely baffled your mothers. Led you in the ways of God, even when they made great mistakes. And you know Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob made great mistakes. Okay, the summary is they were the friends of God, correct? Even though we are told of their sins. I think the world of my father. The last time I wrote about him, he won a prize. Janet can tell you all about that, I guess. Because what I wrote about him, I really emphasized all of his good points, nominating him for Father of the Year here in Nebraska. He wasn't named Father of the Year. He came in the top 10. I feel pretty good about that. I wrote really, really well, but I also had really good material to start with. Okay? I wrote about my father's good points. I could tell you about my father's failures. I could tell you about some big-time failures. like Scripture tells us about the big time failures of fathers in the Scripture, but when I read my father's written autobiography, I discovered that he knew God at an earlier age than I guessed. You see, there were certain things that led me to think my father came to Christ when I was a teenager. But when I read his autobiography, I learned that he came to Christ when he was a teenager. You know, he never had the opportunity to tell me that or explain me that, but his faith was there, even when I knew his mistakes. My father walked with God as well as he knew. When I was a teenager, I guess there were certain things that he put aside in order to be more consistent in his faith in God. Those are things that I noticed then. But his own scripture tells me that he was walking with God back when I knew about his mistakes. Similar things we have in the book of Genesis say, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were known as the friends of God, even though we know their big mistakes. Your father is honorable in part because you have had many fathers. Your immediate father, of course, is the one you've lived with, the one you've grown up with, the one you've seen the most of, and certainly would come to mind first if you hear those words, honor your father. But your immediate father is not the only one you've had and not the first one you have had. Your father, of course, has or had a father, someone that you have called grandfather, someone who might be really, really grand for all I know. But in honoring your father, you honor all of your fathers. They have all had a lot to do with who you are. You might know some ways your immediate father is not so honorable, but a previous father might be just right with regard to those things. And that is just as much a part of you as the things your immediate father has led you through. And remember this, your first father as a believer is Abraham. Abraham, who set things up in the family of God by walking with God and trusting him. And honoring your immediate father is a crucial way of following in the steps of Abraham. And if you're having a little trouble relating to calling Abraham your father, read Galatians 3, 28 and 29. It simply says, if you are in Christ, you are of the offspring of Abraham. In a very important way. It is a very big deal to be a part of the family of Abraham. Our text says people should have for the respect. Our text says the respect that people should have for fathers is so valuable, it should be extended to other old men as well. If charity begins at home, respect also begins at home. And maybe it begins with the father's respect for God's covenant. Let's pray. Father, we are glad that you fill all the good things that that word means. There is no end of your wisdom. There is no end of your honor. There is no end of your might. There's no end of your mercy. There's no end of your understanding. It is your very nature to be the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are blessed to know you as Father. We are glad for that. Father, we realize that the way you have created the world, it includes fathers, it includes families, it has included father of father of father of father. We want to acknowledge your providence in all these things. We acknowledge your wisdom. We're glad you have explain these things in your covenant. We wish to be faithful in these ways. Our God, we pray this and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.